There is much in the Bible that points us to how the kingdom of God is, how we should live in community, how we should behave towards each other. Some of it concerns how a faith community should behave, but I would suggest it also provides a model for how society in general should behave. And we've heard this morning two parables that Luke's gospel records. But there are passages elsewhere in the Bible which you will, I hope, recognise as contributing to our thinking. The letter to the Hebrews, which some designate to Paul as the author, gives a lot of direction, designed to move its readers on from their former dependence on scriptures written by the prophets to an understanding of changed perspectives consequent upon the life and teaching of Jesus Christ. In chapter 13 we read, "Keep on loving each other as brothers." And then in that verse that I love very much, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some people have entertained angels without knowing it." Be hospitable, be generous. Don't limit your hospitality to those who are already part of your close group or to those whom, for whatever reason, you seek to impress. Entertaining those who are outside your group, strangers, is risky. But amongst them may well be those kindly, compassionate souls who we may come to designate as angels, with all the blessings that they offer. And in the perhaps unlikely setting of the book of Proverbs, the wise sayings of King Solomon, and at chapter 25 we read further advice about behaving with good grace. "Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence," it says, "and do not claim a place among great men. It's better for the king to say to you, 'Come up here,' than for him to humiliate you before noblemen. A high place adjacent to the king is for him to offer, not for another to assume. Humility will avoid the embarrassment of being reassigned lower in the order of things." And there are echoes of all of that in the first part of the reading from Luke's Gospel that we heard read this morning. Jesus goes to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee. And perhaps it's worth noting that of all the various groups that we read about in the New Testament times, the Pharisees are the people who live among ordinary townsfolk, get involved in the workaday world. Unlike the Essenes, who live in isolation, and the Sadducees, who are an inhospitable group, rich, well-educated and powerful, directing temple affairs. They had, what we might say, all the top jobs. The Pharisees were a group who cultivated harmonious relations with the community, and it is to the house of a prominent Pharisee that Jesus goes. So the reading offers a perspective about what is and what isn't possible on the Sabbath, but the principal emphasis, the dominant themes are of open invitations and the gracious acceptance of everyone having equal merit. And these are addressed because this is how the kingdom of God is. You may well, I suspect, know what it feels like to have spent hours preparing a meal, organising an event, only for things to go wrong. And for whatever reason, those of you who had particularly invited fail to come. Well, Jesus tells that parable about that, about how a great banquet, sufficient enough for many guests, had been provided, but the invited guests, one by one, began to make their excuses about why they couldn't come. The parable tells of three particular invitations and three different excuses. All three excuses that confirm that the person who gives the invitation is not held in high regard. "I've done a land deal, much more important than your dinner. I've bought a new fleet of vehicles, much more important than your dinner. I've got a new wife who is much more attractive than anyone who will be at your dinner, so I'm not coming." In her book called Surprised by Grace, the Reverend Susan Derber writes, "Determined still to have a party, he goes and invites the poor and the disabled, the sort of people often left off the guest list, indeed the people he had left off the guest list. And what does this tell us about the kingdom of God? part of the background to expansive dinner parties is that they may be a place where a place in society is established. A place where the expectation is that invitations will be followed by an invitation back. Maybe the suggestion is that the people in the parable had no wish to return hospitality. The people who weren't on the invitation list, writes Susan Derber, but who did get to eat the feast, smell the flowers, sip the finest wines, had no chance of returning anything and were in no way part of a social system of exchange, and so just accepted it as a gift and enjoyed it. The kingdom of God is a sheer gift. The only response necessary is to graciously and gratefully accept it. Provision that's made for us is just fabulous. The ways in which we can live harmoniously and peacefully with each other are made clear by the life and teaching of Jesus Christ. And they are a gift that does not require a trade-off. The fabulous banquet of life has been provided free, but many reject it. Fortunately, and as the servant tells his master, having scoured the city for people to come, what you ordered has been done, and there's still room. And you'll understand the reference here. Many reject the notion of a kingdom of justice and peace and provision, but that rejection is not final. And there lies the mission of the church. For there's still room. Susan Derber provides us some words to reflect on at the end of her piece about these parables, and I would just like to share them with you. Thank you for the days when life is like a party, wonderful, beautiful, joyful and free. If most of the time I have business to do and people to see and responsibilities to carry, I'm grateful for the moments when suddenly I know that you want me to be glad and enjoy it all. If most of the time I pretend that I'm earning my way, doing my bit, working my passage, I'm grateful for the moments when suddenly I know that this is all a gift and it's all grace. If most of the time I'm earnest, serious, sober, meeting my obligations, trying to be fair, I'm grateful for the moments when suddenly I know that there is joy and that there is space for me. Give me the grace I need so that I can say yes to your invitation. Come to the party. Enjoy the gift. Amen.